He just wants me out of your fine room and on the road home. That's not true, Nadine. He said that you were a nice person. Nadine finally straightened and pushed some of her hair back over her shoulder. She wiped her nose and stuffed the kerchief in a pocket in her blue dress.
I'm sorry. You must hate me. I didn't mean to come busting in here and try to take your man. I didn't know, I swear. I didn't know, or I'd never have done it. I thought... Well, I thought he wanted...
The word me was drowned in the sound of her tears. Trying to imagine the devastation of losing Richard's love stirred Colin's sympathy. She gave Nadine a comforting hug and sat her on the bed. Nadine pulled the kerchief back out of her pocket and pressed it against her nose as she wept. Colin sat down on the bed next to the woman.
Why don't you tell me about it? About you and Richard, if it would make you feel better? Sometimes it helps to have someone listen.
I feel so foolish.
Nadine flopped her arms down in her lap as she made an effort to control her weeping.
It's my own fault. I always liked Richard. Everybody liked Richard. He's nice to everyone. I've never seen him like he was today. He seems so different.
He is different in some ways, Colin said. Even from last autumn when I first met him. He's been through a lot. He's had to sacrifice his old life, and he's been tested by events. He's had to learn to fight or die. He's had to face the fact that George Cypher wasn't his real father.
Nadine looked up in astonishment.
George wasn't his father? Then who was? Someone named Rawl?
Colin nodded.
Darkin Rawl, the leader of Dahara.
Dahara. Until the boundary came down, I only thought of Dahara as an evil place.
It was, Colin said. Darkin Rawl was a violent ruler who sought conquest through torture and murder. He had Richard captured and tortured nearly to death. Richard's brother, Michael, had betrayed him to Darkin Rawl.
Michael? Well, I guess that really doesn't surprise me. Richard loved Michael. Michael is an important man, but he has a mean streak. If he wants something, he doesn't care who it hurts. Though no one had the nerve to voice it, I don't think anyone was too unhappy when he left and never came back.
He died in the fight with Darkin Rawl. Nadine didn't seem unhappy about this news either. Colin didn't say that Richard had had Michael executed for betraying the people he was supposed to be protecting, for his responsibility in the deaths of so many.
Darkin Rawl was trying to use magic that would have enslaved everyone under his rule. Richard escaped and killed his real father and saved us all. Darkin Rawl was a wizard.
Wizard? And Richard defeated him?
Yes. We all owe Richard a great debt for saving us from what his father would have taken the world into. Richard is a wizard, too.
Nadine laughed at what she thought was a joke. Colin didn't so much as smile. Kara stood stone-faced. Nadine's eyes widened.
You're serious, aren't you?
Yes. Zed was his grandfather. Zed was a wizard, as was Richard's real father. Richard was born with the gift, but he doesn't know very much about how to use it.
Zed's gone, too.
He came with us in the beginning. He's been fighting with us and trying to help Richard, but a short time ago, in a battle, he was lost. I fear he was killed up at the Wizard's Keep, up on the mountain above Aidendrill. Richard refuses to believe Zed was killed.
Colin shrugged.
Maybe he wasn't. That old man was the most resourceful person I've ever met, other than Richard.
Nadine wiped her kerchief across her nose.
Richard and that crazy old man were best friends. That was what Richard meant then when he said that his grandfather taught him about herbs. Everyone comes to my father for remedies. My father knows just about everything about herbs, and I hope someday to know half of what he knows. But my father always said that he wished he knew half as much as old Zed. I never knew Zed was Richard's grandfather.
No one did, not even Richard. It's a long story. I'll tell you a bit of the more important parts.
Helen looked down at her own hands nested in her lap. After Richard stopped Darkin Rawl, he was taken by the Sisters of the Light to the Old World so that they could teach him to use his gift. They would have kept him at the Palace of the Prophets in a web of magic that slowed time. They would have had him there for centuries. We thought he was lost to us. The Palace of the Prophets turned out to be infested with Sisters of the Dark, and they wanted to free the Keeper of the Underworld. They tried to use Richard to those ends,
but he escaped his confinement and stopped them. In the process, the towers of perdition that kept the old and new world separated were destroyed. Now Emperor Jigang of the Imperial Order in the old world is no longer restrained by those towers and is trying to bring all the world under his rule. He wants Richard dead for thwarting him. Jigang is powerful and has a huge army. We have been unwillingly cast into a war for our destiny, our freedom, and for our very existence. Richard leads us in that war. Zed, acting in his capacity as first wizard, named Richard the Seeker of Truth. It's an ancient post, created 3,000 years ago in the great war that raged at that time. It's a solemn assignment of rectitude granted when there is grave need. A seeker is above any law but his own, and backs his authority with the Sword of Truth and its attendant magic. Fate occasionally touches us all in ways we don't always understand, but it sometimes seems to have a death grip on Richard.
Nadine, her eyes wide, finally blinked.
Richard? Why Richard? Why is he in the center of all this? He's just a woods guide. He's just a nobody from Heartland.
Just because kittens are born in the hearth oven, that doesn't make them muffins. No matter where they're born, it's their destiny to grow up to go out and kill rats. Richard is a very special kind of wizard, a war wizard. He is the first wizard with both sides of the magic, additive and subtractive, to be born in 3,000 years. Richard didn't choose to do all this. He does this because we are all depending on him to help us remain a free people. Richard isn't one to stand by and watch while people are hurt.
Nadine looked away.
I know.
She fumbled with the kerchief in her fingers.
I kind of lied to you before.
About what?
She heaved a sigh.
Well, when I told you about Tommy and Lester, I made it sound like it was me who knocked out their front teeth. The truth is, I was on my way to meet Richard. We were to go for a walk and look for some maple leaf viburnum. My father needed some of the inner bark to make a decoction for a baby with colic, and he had run out. Richard knew where there was a patch. Anyway, when I was on my way through the woods to Richard's place, I came across Tommy Lancaster and his friend Lester on their way back from hunting doves. I'd fended off Tommy's unwanted advances in front of some of his pals and made him look a fool. I guess I kind of slapped him and called him a name. He thought to pay me back when he came across me in the woods. He had Lester hold me down, and he... Well, about the time he got his pants pushed down around his knees, Richard showed up. That took the starch right out of Tommy. Richard told them to be off and said that he was going to tell their fathers. Instead of doing the smart thing and leaving, the two of them decided to put a few bird arrows in Richard to teach him a lesson to mind his own business. That's why Tommy and Lester don't have any front teeth. He told them that that was for what they wanted to do to me. He broke their valuable yew bows and told them that that was for what they wanted to do to him. He told Tommy that if he ever again tried to do that to me, he'd slice off... Well, you know.
Colin smiled.
That sounds like the Richard I know. It doesn't sound like he's really changed all that much. The Tommies and Lesters are just bigger now and meaner.
Nadine gave a little shrug.
I guess.
She looked up when Kara held out Nadine's tin cup, which Kara had filled from the ewer on the washstand. Nadine took a sip.
I can't believe people are really trying to kill Richard. I can't believe anyone would want to kill him.
She smirked.
Even Tommy and Lester only want to knock out his teeth.
She settled the cup in her lap.
I can't believe his own father would want to kill him. You said Darkenral had Richard tortured? Why did he do that?
Helen glanced up at Kara.
It's in the past. I really don't want to stir up the memories.
Nadine reddened.
Sorry. I almost forgot that he... and you...
She drew her fingers across her cheeks, wiping away a fresh tear.
It just doesn't seem fair. You...
Nadine flicked a hand in frustration.
You've got everything. You have this palace. I never even knew such things existed. It looks like some vision come from the spirit world. And you have such fine things and magnificent clothes. That dress makes you look like one of the good spirits.
Nadine looked Callan in the eye.
And you're so beautiful. It doesn't seem fair. You even have beautiful green eyes. I just have dumb brown eyes. You must have had men lined up around the palace your whole life, wanting you. You must have had more suitors than most women can even dream of. You have everything. You could have your pick of any man in the Midlands, and you pick a man from my home.
Love isn't always fair, it just is. And your eyes are lovely. Colin twined her fingers together and hooked her hands over a knee. What did Richard mean when he said to you that there is no us, and that you of all people should know that?
Nadine's eyes slid closed as she turned her face away.
Well, I guess a lot of girls in Heartland wanted Richard, not just me. He wasn't like anyone else. He was special. I remember one time when he was about 10 or 12 and he talked two men out of fighting. He always had a way about him. He got the two men to laughing, and they left my pa's shop with an arm over each other's shoulder. Richard was always a rare person.
The mark of a wizard, Colin said.
So Richard must have had a lot of girlfriends?
No, not really. He was nice to everyone, and polite, and helpful, but he never seemed to fall for anyone. That only seemed to make them want him all the more. He didn't have a special person, a love. But a lot of us girls wanted to be the one. After Tommy and Lester tried to lay claim to me.
To rape you?
Yeah, I guess that was what it really was. I never liked to think that someone would really do that to me like that, holding me down and all. But I guess that that's what they were trying to do, rape me. Some people don't call it that, though. Sometimes, if a boy does that to a girl, then he's laid claim to her, and the parents say that it was because the girl encouraged it, and so they make the girl and boy get married before she turns up pregnant. I know girls who had to do that. Many younglings, mostly those of the country folk, have it already decided for them who they're to marry. But sometimes a boy doesn't like who he's supposed to marry, and so he lays claim to who he wants, like Tommy tried to do to me in the hope that either he'll get her pregnant and she'll have to marry him, or their parents will make them wed because she's been spoiled. Tommy was supposed to wed skinny Rita Wellington, and he hated her. Sometimes the girl really does encourage it because she doesn't like who her parents picked for her. Mostly, though, younglings go along as they're told. My parents never decided for me. Some parents don't. They say that it's a recipe for trouble as often as it is one for happiness. They said they figured that I'd know for myself what I wanted. A lot of the girls who didn't have it decided for them wanted Richard. Some of them, like me, waited long past when we should have been married, and mothers 2 or 3 times over. After Richard stopped Tommy, Richard kind of always looked out for me. I started to think it was more than him just watching out for me at last. I started to think that he really wanted to be with me. It seemed like he was really noticing me as a woman, not as some kid he knew who he was protecting. I was sure of it at the Midsummer Festival last year. He danced with me more than any of the other girls. They were turning green with envy, especially when he held me close. Right then and there, I wanted him to be the one, no one else. I thought that after the festival things would change, that he would tell me that I meant more to him than I had before. I thought he would come around and court me more serious. He didn't.
Nadine held the cup of water between her knees with one hand as she worked her kerchief in the fingers of her other hand.
I had other boys who wanted to court me, and I didn't want to throw my future away if Richard was never going to come to his senses, so I got it in my head to give him a shove.
A shove?
Nadine nodded.
Besides some of the other boys, Richard's brother, Michael, was always after me, too. I think just because he always was jealous of Richard. At the time, I wasn't exactly against the idea of Michael courting me. I didn't know him so well, but he was already making somebody of himself. I thought Richard would never be anything more than a woods guide. Not that that's bad. I'm nobody special either. Richard loved the woods.
Colin smiled.
He still does. If he could, I'm sure he would like nothing more than being a simple woods guide. But he can't.
So what happened then?
Well, I figured that if I kind of made Richard just a bit jealous, maybe he would get down off the fence and make a move for me. Sometimes men need a shove, my ma always says. So I gave him a good shove.
Nadine cleared her throat.
I'd let him catch me kissing Michael. I made sure he saw that I was having a good time of it.
Colin drew a deep breath as her eyebrows lifted. Nadine may have grown up with Richard, but she certainly didn't know him.
He never even got angry at me, or jealous or anything,
Nadine said.
He was still nice to me, and he still watched out for me, but he never came visiting, and he never asked me to go for walks after that. When I tried to talk to him about it, to explain, he just wasn't interested.
Nadine stared off.
He had that look in his eyes, like he did today. That look that means he just doesn't care. I never knew what it meant until I saw it again today. I think he really had cared, and expected me to show him I cared by being loyal, but I'd betrayed him.
Nadine dabbed at her lower lids as she took labored breaths.
Shota told me that Richard was going to marry me, and I was so happy that I just didn't want to believe it when he said it wasn't so. I didn't want to believe that look in his eyes, so I pretended to myself that it didn't mean anything. But it does. It means everything.
I'm sorry, Nadine,
Colin said softly. Nadine stood and set the tin cup on the side table. Tears streamed down her cheeks and dripped off the side of her jaw.
Forgive me for coming in here like I did. He loves you, not me. He never loved me. I'm happy for you, Mother Confessor. You have a good man who will watch over you and protect you and always be kind. I know he will.
Colin stood and took Nadine's hand, giving it a comforting squeeze.
Colin, my name is Colin.
Colin.
Nadine still couldn't meet Colin's eyes.
Does he kiss good? I always wondered. When I laid awake in bed, I always wondered.
When you love someone with all your heart, their kisses are always good.
I guess. I never had a good kiss. One I really enjoyed, like the ones I dreamed about anyway.
She smoothed the front of her dress as she made an effort to compose herself.
I wore this because blue is Richard's favorite color. You should know that. Blue is his favorite color dress.
I know,
Callan whispered. Nadine pulled her bag closer.
I don't know what I'm thinking, forgetting my profession while I ramble on about what's over and done.
Nadine rummaged around in her bag, bringing out a small piece of a sheep's horn with a cork stopper in the square-cut end. The horn was marked with scratches and circles. She pulled the cork stopper and dipped in a finger, then lifted it to Kara. Kara backed away.
What do you think you are doing?
It's an unguent, made from alm, to take away the sting, and comfrey and yarrow to help stop the bleeding so the wound can heal smooth. The cut on your cheek is still oozing. If this doesn't stop the blood, then I have some foxglove, but I think this will do it. It's not only the ingredients, but how much of each, my pa says. That's the secret that makes the medicine work.
I don't need it,
Kara said.
You're very pretty. You don't want to end up with a scar now, do you?
I have many scars. You just can't see them.
Where are they?
Kara scowled, but Nadine didn't back away.
All right,
Kara said at last.
Use your herbs if it will get you away from me, but I'm not undressing so you can peer at my scars.
Nadine smiled assurance and then dabbed the brownish paste on Kara's cheek.
This will take away the pain of the cut, but it's going to sting for just a minute, and then it will ease.
Kara didn't so much as blink. It must have surprised Nadine because she paused and looked at Kara's eyes before resuming her work. When she was finished, Nadine replaced the stopper in the horn and placed it back in her bag. Nadine glanced around the room.
I've never seen such a beautiful room. Thank you for letting me use it.
Of course. Do you need anything? Some supplies? Anything?
Nadine shook her head, wiped her nose a last time, and stuffed the kerchief back in the pocket. She remembered the cup, downed the rest of the water, and put it in her bag too.
It's a bit of a journey, but I have some silver left. I'll be fine.
She rested a hand on her bag as she stared down at her trembling fingers.
I never thought my journey would end like this. I'm going to be the laugh of Heartland, running off after Richard like I did.
She swallowed.
What's Pa going to say?
Did Shota tell him, too, that you were going to marry Richard?
No, I hadn't met Shota yet.
What do you mean? I thought she was the one who told you to come here, that you were to marry him.
Well,
Nadine made a wincing smile.
That wasn't exactly how it happened.
I see.
Colin clasped her hands.
Well,
exactly how did it happen?
It will sound silly, like I am some moonstruck girl of 12.
Nadine, just tell me.
Nadine considered a moment before finally sighing.
I suppose it doesn't matter. I started having these... I don't know what to call it. I'd see Richard, or rather, I thought I saw Richard. I'd see him out of the corner of my eye, and I'd turn, but he wouldn't be there. Like one day when I was walking in the woods looking for new shoots, and I saw him standing beside a tree, so I stopped, but he was gone. Every time I knew he needed me. I didn't know how I knew, but I knew it was important, that he was in trouble of some sort. I never questioned it. I told my parents that Richard needed me, and I had to go help him.
And they believed you? They had faith in your visions? They simply let you set out?
Well, I never quite explained it to them. I just told them that Richard had sent me a message that he needed my help, and I was going to him. I guess that I might have kind of made them think I knew where I was going.
Colin was beginning to see that Nadine didn't explain things to anyone very well.
Then Shota came?
No, then I left. I knew Richard needed me, and so I started out.
Alone? You simply thought to march off and search the entire Midlands for him?
Nadine shrugged self-consciously.
It never occurred to me to wonder how I would find him. I knew he needed me, and I felt that it was important, so I left to go to him.
She smiled as if to reassure Callan.
I came right to him. Straight as an arrow. It all worked out exactly right.
Her cheeks flushed.
Except the part about him wanting me, I mean.
Nadine, had you been having any strange dreams, then or now?
Nadine brushed back a thick strand of hair.
Strange dreams? No, no strange dreams. You know, I mean, no stranger than any dreams, just regular dreams.
What kind of regular dreams do you have?
Well, you know, like when you dream that you're little again and lost in the woods, and none of the trails lead you where you know they should, or like when you dream that you can't find all the right ingredients for a pie, and so you go to a cave and borrow them from a bear that can talk, things like that, just dreams. Dreams that you can fly or breathe underwater. Crazy things, but just dreams, like I've always had. Nothing different.
Have they changed recently?
No. If I remember them, they're the same sort of things.
I see. I guess that all sounds pretty normal.
Nadine pulled a cloak from her bag.
Well, I guess I'd better get a start. With luck, I'll be home for the spring festival.
Colin frowned. You'll be lucky to make Midsummer Festival. Nadine laughed.
I should think not. It can't take longer back than here. Just 2 weeks or so. I only left just after the moon's second quarter. It's not yet full.
Colin stared dumbly.
2 weeks.
It had to have taken Nadine months to travel all the way from Westland, especially in the winter when she would have had to have started, and especially across the Ringshotta Mountains.
Your horse must have had wings.
Nadine laughed, then it died out as her smooth brow puckered.
Funny you should mention that. I didn't have a horse. I walked.
Walked?
Colin repeated incredulously.
Yes, but since I've left, I've had dreams of flying on a horse with wings.
Colin was having to work at keeping track of the shifting pieces of Nadine's story. She tried to think of how Richard would ask questions. It had made her feel foolish when Richard put words to all the questions she should have asked Marlin, but never thought of. Though he had taken the sting out of it by telling her that she had done the right thing, it still embarrassed her that she had found out next to nothing important from Marlin when she had had her chance. Confessors didn't need to know much about questioning people. Once she had touched a person with her power, a confessor simply asked the criminal to confess if they had truly committed the crimes they had been found guilty of, and if the answer was yes, which it always was, except in a couple of rare instances, then to recount the details. There was no art to it, and none needed. It was an infallible way of seeing to it that political dissenters weren't falsely accused and found guilty of crimes they didn't commit, simply to have them eliminated through a convenient execution. Colin was determined to do a better job of asking Nadine questions.
When did Shota come to see you? You still haven't told me that part. Oh, well, she didn't exactly come to see me. I came across her up in the mountains. She had a lovely palace, but I never had the chance to go inside. I wasn't there long. I wanted to get to Richard. And what did Shota tell you? What were her words? Her exact words? Let's see.
Nadine pressed her first finger to her upper lip as she recollected.
She welcomed me. She offered me tea. She said that I had been expected, and had me sit with her. She made Samuel leave my bag when he tried to drag it away, and she told me not to be afraid of him. She asked where I was traveling, and I told her that I was going to my Richard, that he needed me. Then she told me things about Richard, things about his past that I would know about. It astonished me that she would know so much about him, but I thought that she must know him. And then she told me things about me that she would have no way of knowing, like longings and ambitions, being a healer, using my herbs, things like that. That's when I realized she was a mystic. I don't remember her exact words about any of that part. She told me that it was true about Richard needing me. She said that we were going to be married. She said that the sky had told her it was so.
Nadine looked away from Colin's eyes.
I was so happy. I don't think I'd ever been that happy.
The sky. What else?
And she said that she didn't want to delay my journey to Richard. She said the wind hunts him, whatever that means, and that I was right that he needed me, and I should hurry and be on my way. She wished me luck.
That's all?
She must have said something else. No, that's all.
Nadine buttoned her bag closed.
Except she said a prayer for Richard, I think.
What do you mean? What did she say? Her exact words?
Well, when she turned away to go back to her palace as I was getting up to leave, I heard her whisper, real solemn-like, "May the spirits have mercy on his soul."
Colin felt her arms under the white satin sleeves of her dress prickle with goose flesh. She only remembered to take a breath when she felt her lungs burning for want of air. Nadine hoisted her bag.
Well, I caused you enough grief. I'd best be on my way home.
Colin spread her hands.
Look, Nadine, why don't you stay here for a while?
Nadine paused with a bewildered look.
Why?
Colin desperately searched for an excuse.
Well, I wouldn't mind hearing stories about Richard when he was growing up. You could tell me about all the trouble he got himself into.
She made herself smile encouragement.
I'd really like that.
Nadine shook her head.
Richard wouldn't want me here. He'll be angry if he comes back and I'm still here. You didn't see the look in his eyes. Nadine, Richard isn't going to throw you out on your ear without letting you have a chance to rest up for a few days before you start back.
Richard isn't like that. He said, anything she needs. I think you could use a rest for a few days more than anything else. Nadine shook her head again.
No, you've already been more kind to me than I've a right to expect. You and Richard belong together. You don't need me around. But thank you for the offer. I can't believe how kind you are. It's small wonder Richard loves you. Any other woman in your place would have had me shaved bald and sent out of town in the back of a manure wagon. Nadine, I'd really like you to stay.
Colin wet her lips.
Please?
She heard herself add.
It might cause hard feelings between you and Richard. I don't want to be the cause of that. I'm not that kind of person. If it was a problem, I wouldn't have asked. Stay, at least for a few days, all right? You could stay right here in this room you like so much. I'd really like you to stay.
Nadine studied Colin's eyes for a long moment.
You really want me to stay? Really? Yes.
Colin could feel her nails digging into her palms.
Really? Well, to tell the truth, I'm not in a hurry to go home and confess my foolishness to my parents. All right, then. If you really want me to, I'll stay for a while. Thank you.
Despite having important reasons for asking Nadine to stay, Colin couldn't help feeling like a moth flying into a flame. Chapter 8 Colin forced a smile.
Good, then. You'll stay. It will be nice to have you stay for a visit. We'll talk, you and I, about Richard. I mean, I'd like to hear your stories about him growing up.
She realized she must sound like she was babbling and made herself stop. Nadine beamed.
I can sleep in the bed? Don't be silly, of course in the bed. Where else? I have a blanket and could sleep on the carpet so as not to...
No, I won't have it. I've invited you to stay. I want you to feel at home, just like other guests who use this room. Nadine giggled.
Then I'd be sleeping on the floor. I sleep on a pallet on the floor in the back room above our shop.
Well, Colin said, here you will sleep in the bed. Colin glanced at Kara before going on.
Later I'll show you around the palace if you'd like. But for now, why don't you just unpack some of your things and have a rest while Kara and I go see to some important business?
What business? Kara asked.
The woman is as silent as a stone through all this, Colin thought, and now she has to ask questions.
Marlin business.
Lord Rawl told us to stay away from Marlin.
He's an assassin sent to kill Richard. There are things I need to know.
I want to come too, then, Nadine said.
She looked back and forth between Colin and Kara.
I can't imagine anyone wanting to kill a person, much less Richard. I want to see what such a person looks like. I want to look into his eyes.
Colin emphatically shook her head. It's not something you want to see. We need to question him, and it isn't likely to be pleasant.
Really?
Kara asked, her voice brightening.
Why? Nadine asked. What do you mean?
Colin held up a finger.
Enough. I say this for your own good. Marlin is dangerous, and I don't want you down there. You are a guest. Please respect my wishes while you are a guest in my home.
Nadine studied the floor at her feet.
Of course. Forgive me.
I will tell the guards that you are a guest, and if you would like anything, to have some of your things washed, a bath, anything, just ask and they will see that someone from the staff helps you. I'll be back after a while and we can have dinner. We'll talk over dinner.
Nadine turned to her bag on the bed.
Sure. I didn't mean to meddle. I don't want to be in the way.
Colin hesitantly touched a hand to the back of Nadine's shoulder.
I didn't mean to sound like I was ordering you around. This business with someone trying to hurt Richard just has me on edge, that's all. I'm sorry I nearly bit your head off. You're a guest. Please enjoy our home as your own.
Nadine smiled over her shoulder.
I understand. Thanks.
She really was a beautiful young woman, attractive figure and face, and an innocent quality despite what truths Colin feared she danced around. Colin could easily see why Richard would have been attracted to her. She wondered at what random wisp of fate had matched Richard with her instead of this one. Whatever the reason, she thanked the good spirits that it was so, and prayed fervently that it would remain so. More than anything, Colin wanted this perfidious gift from Shota to vanish. She wanted this tempting, beautiful, dangerous young woman away from Richard to just send Nadine away. If only she could do so. After telling the guards that Nadine was a guest, and once Colin and Kara had descended the carpeted stairs at the far end of the hall and were alone on the richly appointed landing, Kara seized Colin's arm and spun her around to a halt.
Are you crazy? What are you talking about?
Kara gritted her teeth as she leaned closer.
A witch woman sends your man a wedding gift. It's the bride, and you invite her to stay?
Colin rubbed a thumb against the round, polished sphere of ironwood topping the newel post.
I had to. Isn't it obvious?
What is obvious to me is that you should have done as the little strumpet suggested. You should have shaved her bald and sent her away in the back of a manure wagon.
She's a victim in this, too. She has showed us pawn.
Her tongue has a distaste for the truth. She still wants your man. If you can't see that in her eyes, then you aren't the wise woman I thought you to be.
Kara, I trust Richard. I know he loves me. If there's one thing at the core of Richard's way of looking at things, it's trust and loyalty. I know my heart is safe in his hands. How would it look if I acted like a jealous woman and sent Nadine away? If I don't show my trust in him, then I'm not honoring his loyalty to me. I can't afford to even appear to betray his trust in me.
Kara's scowl didn't so much as soften.
That bucket won't carry water for me. All that may be true, but that isn't why you asked Nadine to stay. You want to strangle her as much as I do. I can see it in your green eyes.
Colin smiled, trying to see herself in the dark, polished ironwood.
She could only see a blur of a reflection.
Hard to fool a sister of the Aegeal. You're right. I had to ask Nadine to stay because there's something going on, something dangerous. The danger won't simply go away if I make Nadine leave.
With a gloved hand, Kara wiped a strand of blonde hair back from her face.
Dangerous?
Like what?
Therein lies the problem, I don't know. And don't you dare even think of hurting her. I have to find out what's really going on, and in order to do that I may need Nadine. I don't want to have to go hunting her when I could have kept her at hand and in sight in the beginning. Look at it this way. Would it have been the right thing to do to simply send Marlin away when he arrived and announced he wanted to kill Richard? Would that have solved the problem? Why are we keeping him around? To find out what's going on, that's why.
Kara wiped at the unguent on her cheek as if it were a smudge of dirt. I think you are inviting trouble to your bed. Colin had to blink at the burning sensation in her eye.
I know. Me too. The obvious thing to do, the thing I ache to do, is to send Nadine away on the fastest horse I can find. But no problem is that easily solved, especially one sent by Shota.
You mean what Shota told Nadine about the wind hunting Lord Rawl?
That's part of it. I don't know what it means, but it doesn't sound to me like it's something Shota dreamed up. Worse, though, is Shota's prayer. May the spirits have mercy on his soul? I don't know what she meant by that, but it terrifies me. That, and that I might be making the biggest mistake of my life. But what choice do I have? Two people show up on the same day, one sent to kill him and the other sent to marry him? I don't know which is more dangerous, but I do know that neither can be simply dismissed. If someone is trying to stick a knife in your back, closing your eyes doesn't make you safe.
Kara's face eased from that of a moored Sith to the softer features of a woman who understood another woman's fears.
I will watch your back. If she crawls into Lord Rawl's bed, I will throw her out before he ever finds her there.
Colin squeezed Kara's arm.
Thanks. Now let's get down to the pit.
Kara didn't budge.
Lord Rawl said he does not want you down there. And since when have you started following orders?
I always follow his orders, especially the ones I know he means. He means this one.
Fine. You can watch over Nadine while I go down there.
Kara snatched Colin's elbow as she started to turn away.
Lord Rawl does not want you in danger.
And I don't want him in danger. Kara, I felt a fool when Richard asked me all those questions that we failed to ask Marlin. I want the answers to those questions.
Lord Rawl said he would ask them, and he's not going to be back until tomorrow night.
What happens in the meantime? What if something is going on and it's too late to stop it by then? What if Richard is killed because we sat on our hands following his orders? Richard is afraid for me, and that's keeping him from thinking clearly. Marlin has information about what's going on, and it's foolhardy to let time pass while the danger grows. What was it that you said to me before? Something about hesitation being the end of you, or the end of those you care about?
Kara's face went slack, but she didn't answer.
I care about Richard, and I'm not going to risk his life by hesitating. I'm going to get the answers to those questions.
Kara smiled at last.
I like your thinking, Mother Confessor. But then you are a sister of the Aegeal. The orders were ill-advised, if not foolish. Mord Sith only follow Lord Rawl's foolish orders when his male pride is at stake, not his life. We will go have a little discussion with Marlin and get the answer to every one of those questions, and more. When Lord Rawl comes back, we will be able to give him the information he needs, if we haven't already ended the threat.
Colin popped the palm of her hand against the round newel post.
That's the Kara I know.
As they went lower in the palace, below the levels with carpets and paneling, down to the narrow, low-ceilinged halls where light came only from lamps, and even lower, where only torches lit the way, the air went from light and spring fresh to stale, and then to rank with the heavy smell of damp, moldy stone. Colin had walked those confining halls more times than she wished to recall. The pit was where they took confessions of the condemned. She had taken her first there, from a man who had killed his neighbor's daughters after committing unspeakable acts on them. Of course, each of those times she had been accompanied by a wizard. Now she was going to see a wizard being held there. When they had passed out of earshot of a squad of soldiers guarding an intersection with two stairwells, and before they reached the turn that would take them to the pit hall that would be crowded with all the soldiers she had stationed there, Colin glanced over. Kara was an attractive woman, but a woman with an air of menace about her as she swept the empty hall with vigilant gazes.
"Kara, can I ask you a personal question?"
Kara clasped her hands behind her back as she strode along.
"You are a sister of the Aegil. Ask." "Before, you told me that hesitation can be the end of you or those you care about. You were talking about yourself, weren't you?"
Kara slowed to a stop. Even in the hissing torchlight, Colin could see that her face had paled.
"Now that is truly a personal question. You don't have to tell me. I don't mean it to sound like an order or anything. I was just wondering, woman to woman. You know so much about me, and I hardly know anything about you, except that you are Mord Sith."
"I wasn't always Mord Sith," Kara whispered. Her eyes had lost the menace, and she looked like nothing so much as a frightened little girl. Colin could tell that Kara was no longer seeing the empty stone hall.
"I guess that there is no reason not to tell you. As you said, I am not to blame for what was done to me. Others were responsible. Every year, in Dahara, they would select a few girls to be trained as Mord Sith. It is said that the greatest cruelty is drawn from those with the kindest hearts. Rewards were paid for the names of girls who fit the requirements. I was an only child, one of the requirements, and of the right age. The girl and her parents are taken, the parents to be murdered in the training of a Mord Sith. My parents didn't know that our names had been sold to the hunters."
Kara's face and tone had lost their emotion. She had gone blank, as if she were telling of last year's beet harvest. But her words, if not her tone, carried more than enough emotion.
This is the end of Side 1. There is no need to change your balance control. Simply reverse this cassette. That is, turn to Side 2 and continue listening.